calling all video game, toy, and comic vendors. Saturday, May 30th at the Superkick Columbus Indoor Soccer Arena in Lewis Center, Ohio, comes the 2020 Torg Gaming Expo. The Torg Gaming Expo will offer a wide variety of comics, toys, video games, as well as door prizes, art, arcades, special guest panels, and video game tournaments. The Expo will be hosting the Classic Tetris World Championship Midwest Qualifier during this event. Finalists will win a trip to Oregon for the finals and a cash grand prize. For vendors who would like to attend the Expo, don't miss the Early Bird Special, where you get an 8-foot table for $40 until February 1st. Want to be involved with the Expo but don't want a table? Become a sponsor. Multiple spots are available and will be advertised to attendees, but act fast because spots are limited. The 2020 Torg Gaming Expo, presented by the Canned Air Podcast. For more details or to sign up as a vendor or sponsor, go to torgevents.com.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today to talk about some of his artwork, whether it be commissions, whether it be pinups, or trading cards, which I'm really excited to talk about, we welcome artist Michael Metlin to the show. Michael, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest.
Oh, no worries, man. No worries. No need to be nervous. You're in good company here. Good company with us. We got a good show for everyone lined up today. In the Retro Roundtable, we're going to be talking about movies, comics, television shows, anything that meets the criteria of being considered dark. Something that you don't walk away from feeling happy or jolly. Something that leaves you kind of unsettled.
Nice.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic, I think. Jake would have felt right at home on this.
Yeah, he would have. I don't think we'd have been able to talk at all.
Probably not.
Yeah, so I'm excited to do that. And then after that, we're going to give our full attention over to Michael and talk about some of his artwork. But before we do all of that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing here at the show, and you want to show your support, get some access to not only the Patreon pod we do, but future projects that are coming down the pipe here in the next few months, just go to patreon.com/CannedAirPod or head to CannedAirPodcast.com and take the link over to Patreon. And for $5 a month, you get privy to all this wonderful stuff. And you're supporting the show.
I mean, absolutely.
I don't know what else to say.
There's going to be some good stuff coming up on there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What else am I forgetting, guys? Anything?
I'm going to do a Society 6 site. Society 6?
Nah, fuck it.
Okay.
All right. I think that's going to do it. So let's kick it off with this week's Retro Round Table.
Show me what you got.
What's up, Doc?
Taste bad. Yeah.
Boo, not cool. Disqualified.
All right, gentlemen. Dark movies, television, comics, whatever it might be. Jackery, why don't you kick us off?
This one's not too retro, but it is a comic and it is a TV show, and it kind of is a movie because it's long, drawn out. The Boys.
Ooh.
You watched that one. That was a dark take on superheroes.
Very dark.
And I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I don't think we really can spoil other than
it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. It reminded me a lot. Not that, and this won't give away anything because they're two separate entities, but we've said before the Super Corporate Heroes that was a comic that Susie Diaz and Miguel Sanchez, was that their names?
I think it was the other way around.
Miguel Guerra and Susie Diaz.
Yes.
There it is. Sorry.
haven't talked to them for a while.
It's been a long time. You cut me some slack. But yeah, they did a book called Super Corporate Heroes. And I just remember the first two pages of that, I don't know if you recall, was somebody hanging on the ledge of a building about to plummet to their death. And along come a superhero, like a Superman kind of entity who propped himself on the ledge there. He's like, you know,
you don't have insurance, superhero insurance, so I don't know if I can save you.
Yeah, if you sign right here at this X, I can save your life. You know, if you sign this 1-year plan thing here. So it was very, very.
I like that kind of dark humor, though. That's the kind of stuff I like. I like that kind of shit. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was a good book. And
the boys was good.
It was a damn good series.
So easy to see exactly how real superheroes would be taken in the real world.
Yeah. A good look at it, wasn't it?
Yep.
Excited for season 2, too.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. My God.
Is that on HBO?
It was on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't have Amazon Prime. I got Netflix. I need to get Disney Plus. Me and the wife was talking about getting Disney Plus.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Dude, yeah, because they have the 90s cartoons on there, too, like Spider-Man and X-Men and that, right?
Oh, yeah.
God, I've been trying to get my daughter into the classic 90s superhero cartoons. Got her into Ninja Turtles so far. I'm trying to get her into X-Men and Spider-Man.
The rest ought to be easy, though, I would think. Easy.
Bringing them up right, man?
Right? Oh, definitely. Yeah. She likes the Teen Titans and the Teen Titans Go cartoon. And every time she puts it on, I'm just sitting on the couch, you know, silently vomiting in my mouth. So I try and introduce her to the good stuff when I have the chance.
You're doing good work, sir. You're doing good work there. Yeah, the Batman the Animated Series, has she seen that yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I'm a big, big Batman fan. I have, the original animated series action figure, the grappling hook. Is that the one I'm thinking of, the grappling hook? Grappling belt or whatever? I have that one in a shadow box in my collection, and she knows not to go near it. She knows exactly what it is, and she loves that cartoon. I'm all about Batman the Animated Series.
It's so good. So good. Yeah.
Classic.
Should be easy getting her to like what you want her to like. If she's already on board.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like she's going to be an easy target. Well, let's move right over to you, Michael. How about a dark movie, TV, or comic?
Well, what about a game? Because I just recently got done with a cool game.
Absolutely.
Spawn from PlayStation 2. Yeah, Spawn Armageddon. I just finished it up. I had it as a kid. And now that I have kids, I finally went back and bought a PlayStation 2 for her, and that was one of the games I wanted to get. And I finally just beat it. I think it was last night or the night before I just beat it. Have y'all played that?
Mm-mm.
I have not.
I think I've seen it.
Is it just like a fighter, like not like a wander around and just beat people up kind of a game?
It's kind of like
pretty much, but all demons. You're just battling demons through each stage. And I think the funny thing is, even though it came out so many years ago, the storyline of the video game ironically matches the storyline of the comics pretty well.
Really?
I don't know if that was like planned from Todd McFarlane or what, but it's pretty close. Like the storyline, there's things changed and not everything that happens that way. But all in all, if you were to kind of just take a step back and look at the whole, you know, picture of the game in a way, in effect, whatever, however you want to say that, it actually is very close to how he ended up doing the whole comic series so far, in a way.
That's refreshing, I would think. It'd be so awesome. I mean, how many times have you seen, a comic just end up being the source material, and then when it makes it to a TV show or a movie or a video game,
it's just a bastardization
of what you grew up with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if he did kind of plan all that, I think that's actually pretty genius, because all this stuff, you know, all these comics came out years later after this game. I mean, as far as, you know, going throughout the higher hundreds and the storyline and such, so kind of ingenious.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Spawn's always been an interesting character. I remember going to the theater to see that movie back in the day.
Doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
No, the special effects were not good in that movie.
Especially when they're in hell. The planes and everything.
His cape looked horrible.
Yeah, it was good at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, at the
today,
time it was
no.
tight. But no.
I still have my original VHS tape of Spawn.
Do you really?
Yeah, I still have it. Same exact one.
what still baffles me to this day and like surprises and shocks me is that John Leguizamo is that clown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, yeah. It took me forever to figure out.
I just still like, really? Man, yeah. He did good. You know?
Yeah, honest to God, I think he carried that movie. If it wasn't for him as Violator Clown, and the jokes and the humor, I feel like he carried a lot of that on his back.
You're absolutely right. That movie would have been so fucking boring.
Martin Sheen as the main villain. He was forgettable.
Oh, yeah.
He was Jason. Right. Jason Wynn. Martin Sheen did Jason Wynn, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I kind of want to watch it again. And to be honest.
Right. Hey, honestly, it's really not as bad as we want to remember. But it's bad. But it's bad. Great. If that makes sense. Like it's classic. You know. It's still fun. It's just, it's, you know.
You used the perfect adjective, fun. A bad, great movie is what we call fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching it, loving it, and at the same time you're going, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy, what about you?
All right, so Sons of Anarchy for me. That was
I've never seen it, but I've heard it is wonderful. There's
parts in it where you bust out laughing and other parts where you're like, ew. My wife and I got into it like the second season and we started watching it religiously. And it got a lot darker there at the end.
Sure.
But a bunch of phenomenal actors. It was really well written.
You know, kind of speaking on that same note, because you talked about a healthy dose of like humor and dark things happening right in front of you. Boy, my mind just fucking blanked on me.
Are you thinking about when we had Carrie Means on?
No. It'll come back to me.
So yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
All right,
check it out.
Have you watched the spinoff though?
We started watching it. I mean,
like Narcos or Locos or something like that.
No, it's oh crap!
What's that called?
I don't know. I had it in my head and it disappeared. Just been
damn it, Jeremy!
What's
it's
going
contagious.
On, man? What's happening?
Mayans.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We didn't get as into it as we did Sons of Anarchy. It's a good show. It's just it's different. You know, it's kind of like watching something and you're expecting Charlie Hunnam or whatever, and it's just
well, it's like watching Walking Dead and then watching Fear the Walking Dead,
right,
which
exactly.
I didn't watch any.
Oh, that was a horrid show. when Fear the Walking Dead came out, like two episodes, I was like, "This, maybe it got better," because you know it's hard to judge any show in its first few episodes and first season. It's all they're always finding their footwork.
Yeah, I couldn't get dragged into it either. I tried to watch it because of the hype in the beginning, and I couldn't get dragged. I felt like each episode kind of had a similar same song, same dance. I don't know. I thought the makeup, the zombies look amazing, in my opinion. It looked really, really cool. But it got too boring too quick for me.
Yeah,
I think I'm in the minority for the fan base on that show.
I think they just kind of expected you to be on board with these characters instead of giving you a reason to care about them.
That was the first thing I remember you hearing. You're like, I don't give a shit about any of these people.
Right.
Yeah. And I just
I wanted to like it, but I just couldn't.
Yeah. And like all the people were the characters were like the wife was very dispensable. The husband, I just remember him looking like an Indian Patrick Duffy for some reason.
What?
But that's all I really remember of the show, man. Like it was pretty expendable.
And ladies and gentlemen, I think Jeremy had his light bulb moment.
I did have my light bulb moments. Going back to what you were saying, taking the humor with the dark, that's the same kind of thing that made me, at least, realize Heath Ledger was going to be an amazing Joker. Because when that movie started, when you're at the theater seeing it for the first time, The Dark Knight, and he walks in and does the pencil trick.
Right.
That was the moment, because as soon as he slams that dude's head on it, your initial reaction is to start laughing, but at the same time, oh, fuck, someone just died, you know?
Yeah.
And it was that, both of those feelings trying to occupy the same spot at the same time that made me be like, this dude's going to be really fucking good, you know? Like, this is going to be awesome. But I love when they do that.
Yes.
I agree, totally.
Let's see. What have I got? Do you guys remember a movie? This is an old movie, like early 90s. It's like Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin when they were real little kids, called The Good Son. movie called The Good Son?
Oh, vaguely. No. I don't know if I've ever watched the whole thing.
So, what was it? Elijah Wood was like a visiting nephew. He was staying at his aunt and uncle's house visiting with his cousin. And this kid, who was played by Macaulay Culkin, was fucking demented.
He was. I remember. Definitely remember that part.
He was like killing animals and shit. Yeah. And like, geez. Yeah. Well, at the end, it came down because I think he was even trying to kill his mom, but like blame it on Elijah Wood, make it look like he was doing it. And at the end of the movie, it came down to the mom, like they were on the edge of a cliff, and she had Elijah Wood in one hand and Macaulay in the other. And she had to make the decision, do I drop my bastard child and save this kid, or do I just let my nephew fall and save my son, even though he's son of Satan, you know what I mean? I remember watching that as a kid and watching, do you want to know who fell? I mean, spoilers? I mean,
probably Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin fell.
Dude, if they would have just left that a cliffhanger, that would have made the movie so much better.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, right.
Wow. Look what Randy did. I remember seeing that when I was a kid and just that leaving an impression on me. Because I was probably about their age when I saw that shit. So
right.
It's like, what if my mom dropped me? You know? Because I think there's like a quick shot of you see his like lifeless body just kind of washing up in the tide. And you're like, Jesus Christ, this is dark.
Yeah.
Didn't Macaulay try dropping Elijah down in a well at one point?
I think so.
Like
What year did this come out?
Like 91, 2 maybe?
It was after Home Alone, somewhere around there, because he was still pretty little.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it would have had to have been after that popular.
What's it called again? The Good Son?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna look this one up. I'm gonna watch this one soon. It sounds good. I'm a big fan of horror movies, and I haven't seen this. I haven't even heard of it. So
I wouldn't even say it's a horror movie, really. Yeah, suspense thriller. Like
but thriller.
It was good. It was definitely good.
Sounds like it.
So, all right, we are back to Jack.
The movie that actually defined the genre for me for a dark comedy, I guess, because I thought of it just as a comedy until I talked about it and someone's like, oh, that's a dark comedy. And I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Cable Guy.
I don't remember anything about that movie.
Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah.
And Matthew Broderick. Okay. Never saw it.
You never saw it?
I just remember, ooh, a Jim Carrey movie. Ooh.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's a cable guy and he comes over to Matthew Broderick's house to do cable and he's just a real weirdo, but then he ends up like befriending Matthew Broderick and turns into almost like a stalker, and he's like over his house all the time, but like at the end he's almost trying to kill Matthew Broderick.
It's so jarring to see comedians that, like when Robin Williams did that photo booth movie where he's like
a stalker serial killer. That movie was so good.
It messes with me so hard.
I need to watch that movie. So many people tell me to watch photo booth.
I'm
not telling you watch it. That just throws me when they're...
But at like the very end, you find out that Jim Carrey's character was just a kid that was sat in front of the TV all the time when he was a kid because he knew like so much about TV and he was just kind of socially awkward.
Sure.
And one person was nice to him, so all of a sudden he's best friends. But
I see.
He's obsessive that pain in
best
the
friend.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Did you ever, not that this is a dark movie, just something you said made me think of it, that old Bill Murray and I think it was Richard Dreyfuss movie,
What About Bob? Yes, I love
that. I fucking love that film.
Oh, God. Oh,
he just was relentless, just wouldn't leave him alone. Didn't
they take everybody him on loved him, though.
But Richard Dreyfuss
hated him, yeah. Baby steps. Yeah.
We are over to Michael again.
This is tough. I don't know.
You can pass.
No, because I don't want to be boring or anything. I'm kind of enjoy listening to what y'all are talking about because I haven't seen these movies, so they sound good. The Bill Murray one, I know my wife seen. She loves Bill Murray. His humor is a little bit dry for me, but I love Ghostbusters. That's about it. Probably going to be crucified for that for the world.
No, not at all. Because I've seen some of his newer things and like that holiday special he did on Netflix.
That was horrible. I couldn't say
it. So boring. It seemed almost pretentious, kind of, you know? Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay, I got one. One popped in my head, and I don't know if y'all heard of it because it's an indie film. Stitches. It's about a serial killer, like killer clown.
Boy, that almost sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's a ruthless indie film, and it's like I don't know, man. It's like horror, but it's also gore, and there is so much dark humor in it. Like, I could not stop busting out laughing throughout the movie, even at, like, the worst times, like, when he's, like, ripping someone's guts out or, like, pulling their eyeball out of their head. I'm, like, busting out laughing because, I mean, I know it sounds demented, but it's, like, one of those type of, like, gore horror fest type movies, but with so much dark comedy. Like, a lot of the stuff in that movie, like, really inspired me to write, like, certain, like, just punchlines and goofy off the wall, like, dark comedy type of stuff in some older comics that I had back in the day. And, I mean, that movie is just amazing. If y'all haven't seen it, definitely see it.
I haven't. I feel like somebody's talked about it on the
Maybe
show.
That's
before,
what it was, yeah.
Though, yeah, that does sound interesting.
Is that like on Netflix or something, or have you seen it?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. Where did I watch that at?
It might be on Prime. A lot of indie movies get on Prime. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It probably might be. I don't have Prime, but I probably watched it on. You know what? I think it was on the free movies on demand. With Comcast, but it probably would be on Prime too.
Okay,
man, it is hilarious, dude. I swear to God, like, you're gonna be watching this and you're like, some really just screwed up shit's about to happen and you're just gonna start busting out laughing because you just can't help yourself. Like, you're like, dude, are you fucking seriously? He really just did that to her. That, okay, you know what I mean? Like, it's so it's that type of like horror comedy to where it's like completely to the edge. Like, it's hilarious. If you have a weak stomach, though, and you can't, like, handle certain gore stuff, I wouldn't watch it, but it's hilarious.
Okay.
I think I want to see it. I think I might want to see it.
It's like, you can watch it on YouTube.
You can?
You probably could. You probably could, yeah.
Very good. All right.
I even went as far, when I first seen it, to actually try and contact the creators of it, because I wanted to see if I can get some licensing for it to do a comic book for them. Yeah, this was like literally right after I finished watching the movie with my wife. I told her, I said, I'm done. I love this. Like, I need a hoodie. I want a hoodie with stitches on it. And I'm going to go on eBay, buy me a hoodie with stitches on it. And I'm going to go contact these guys and see if I can find them on Facebook. Like, it was literally like it. I loved it.
That's one hell of an impression it made on you.
Dude, I'm saying you guys got to see this.
Yeah,
well, they'd probably be more than happy, I would think.
Yeah.
Right, hey, if y'all are listening, I know it's been like 2-3 years maybe. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm the guy that contacted you like 2-3 years ago, Michael Metlin Art. My shit is so much better. I have licensed properties now. Contact me, Michael Metlin Art at AOL.com. There we go.
There you go.
Damn. Bam! I love stitches.
Now that's a promotion.
Yep, yeah. There you
right,
go. Randy, we are over to you, sir.
So it's something new on Netflix. Have you guys seen the Castlevania comic/anime on Netflix?
I've started watching because they just came out with season 2.
Yeah,
or like late last year or something like
correct,
that.
Correct. Yeah, I think they're waiting on season 3, but it's obviously based on the video game Castlevania.
I've heard of it. I've just never seen it.
It's a cartoon, but it's one of those like anime where it's real gory style.
Should be.
Yes, and right. the back and forth as you get into like the end of season 1 into season 2 between Alucard and Richter, it's hilarious. They're always ragging on each other, and it's great.
Alucard.
Alucard. It's Dracula backwards, all right? Not Alucard.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do it, you guys.
I'm sitting over by Jeremy now.
All right. Was that it then?
Yeah. Yep.
Then Randy, all right.
I think I watched the first episode. I got to pick it back up, though.
I've got a few here I'd like to mention. We're going around again, though, aren't we?
Sure.
I'd say we've got enough time. So... Jack, you might remember a comic we've discussed on this show before. I tried to get the creators on, but the artist was busy and the writer just didn't seem very interested. But Squarriors. Remember
yes,
Squarriors?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This was a book, a comic about essentially, for some reason, unexplained, people were getting dumber, like stupid. Like... The intelligence level of human beings was starting to go down while animals, like like rabbits, mice, squirrels, dogs, all animals started becoming intelligent. Hmm. And this comic focused on a group of squirrels that they started becoming very tribal. You know what I mean? And you just followed their life and followed, you know, dangers in their world. You know, like, okay, it's freezing tonight. You know, you and I turn on the heater. That's an episode for them. Like, okay. But there were, you know, they go to war with the cats, I think it was. And, like, when they're out in the field looking for one of their squirrels that didn't come home, they find this squirrel, like, pinned up on the tree, like, nails in his, like, hands and feet and, like, split up the middle with, like, entrails just falling out. Like, it's bloody and gory as shit. And, but, you know, when I start to tell you about it, it seems all fluffy and fucking cute, doesn't it? The artwork, I can't stress to you how gorgeous it is.
Yeah.
Every panel's a masterpiece.
There's a painting almost like one.
Yeah. Beyond Velveteen Rabbit, eat your fucking heart out.
Oh, man.
Like, it's good art. So I can't recommend enough to check out Squirriors, but especially if you're into the dark,
that's
dark
like some
comic.
Watershed Down crap right there.
Very much, yeah, very much in that same kind of vein.
Gotcha.
I've never seen Watershed, only GIFs and images, and what I've seen, that would line up.
Yeah, yeah.
Rabbits in a field of blood.
Yeah, oh God.
What was that, Michael?
Who's that comic published by? Where can I get it?
Boy, you can make me look it up. I don't remember. Was it Devil's Due?
That's it, yep.
Is it Devil's Due?
Yeah, most positive it was.
Yeah, I think it is. Let me look it up here, because I'm curious, too.
Unless they've changed over the past couple of years, but I'm almost positive that's what it was.
Is it like a one-shot or a mini-series or what?
No, it was an ongoing series. Ashley Witter.
That's right. She's the artist.
She's the artist.
Yep.
It's Devil's Due. There it is.
All right.
Devil's Due.
Sounds really cool.
It is really cool. I can't recommend it enough. It's so good. Which brings us back to Jack.
I got another comic that doesn't sound dark by the title, but it sure is. It takes place at Christmas time. It's called Happy. And it's about a down and out detective. I've talked about it on the show.
This sounds
a while
very familiar.
Yeah. They did a sci-fi series too. Yeah.
With the little unicorn he can see.
Yeah, a little blue Pegasus.
Yes.
Yeah. What a detective that he's pretty much had it, tries to commit suicide all the time, and finds out that, well, he got shot from a mob killing. He killed a mob hitman, and they got a shot off on him, and he goes to the hospital, wakes up, and this blue unicorn's talking to him, and he thinks he's going crazy. Turns out it's his daughter. Happy is his daughter's imaginary friend that gets kidnapped by this guy that's dressing up like Santa Claus. But the guy that dressed up like Santa Claus is not like bad Santa Claus. He's almost like a bum. He's not like, I don't know. It's so
you're just following around this guy's mental illness.
Pretty well. He's following, trying to figure out where this girl is, because Happy's just like, oh, yeah, you got to go save her. And like hijinks and stuff happen all the time. But it's gory as hell, too. He gets woken up in the hospital with all these hitmen coming to get him. And there's one like mad scientist is going to try to flay his penis open at one point. But somehow he gets away from him and just destroys the hell out of it. I don't know. It's an awesome book, and it's funny as hell too.
I mean the show looks good, so
it was
good. Only
the
imagine.
Show was great, and the guy that they got to play the detective was amazing. It was if you ever watched Law and Order,
yes.
SVU, yeah.
My wife loves that show.
Yeah, he was great on that show.
What channel was that on?
Sci-fi.
You said okay,
and it's a Grant Morrison comic, so. Of course, it's
well, there you go.
Twisted.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Very good. All right, we are back to Michael. If he has anything else,
saying Grant Morrison just reminded me of the Green Lantern. Did y'all read the new Green Lantern?
No.
All right. Well, I guess I'll pick something else.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to read it. Go ahead.
All right. Anybody like Green Hornet?
Not the Seth Rogen one.
You just mean in general, or just like the new series?
Comics, the TV show. Not Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen's Green Hornet. I'm a firm believer in history repeating itself, And Seth Rogen's Green Hornet just reminds me of the Schumacher, Schumacher Batman films, oh, where wow. it got real campy, and then they finally decided to do like a dark real take with Christian Bale's Batman. I'm waiting for a dark real gritty take of Green Hornet and Kato. I'm hoping that's history repeating itself, and Seth Rogen's film was more of the campy George Clooney type of Batman type of thing. Hopefully that's history repeating itself. But yeah, yeah. Comics, TV show with Van Williams, Bruce Lee, anything?
Yeah, man. I see, as for my Green Hornet knowledge, I never watched the original show. I had seen some reruns. Yeah. I do remember, I think Kevin Smith wrote that for a while, the Green Hornet comic series for, was it DC?
Dynamite.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Smith wrote a handful of it, and he also did, there was an episode on the actual TV show where Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin actually crossed over and met.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Kevin Smith did an actual 6-issue miniseries of that in, you know, comic format. And it was, I read it. I have the whole 6-issue miniseries with all duplicates. So twice, plus the graphic novel. And I have issues 1 through 3 or 1 through 4 signed by Alex Ross. Big fan of that series. He hit it off, man. I swear to God, like, I don't know if he was like over there doing some kind of like seance and or whatever, trying to, you know, get the spirit of Adam West, because everything sounded so dead on. Like, when I was reading, I was joking, I was saying that, by the way, I'm sure he wouldn't do that, but everything, like every line he said, like how he wrote it, just I felt like I was watching, you know, Adam West on TV. I, by the way, real quick, shout out to my grandma, because I'm one of the few young men my age who actually was blessed enough to grow up watching the entire TV show from 1966. Oh, there was in 1991 or 1989, something like that.
You're absolutely right.
They did.
That's when I watched it. Yeah,
they did a whole marathon of it, you know? And my grandma taped every single episode on VHS for me. So I got 2 VHS tapes with every single episode from that TV show. So I was actually able to grow up watching the original 66 TV show with Adam West and Burt Ward.
That's awesome.
Yeah, God, yeah. Blessed.
Come on, in that same time period, I remember it was like in a after school cartoon kind of a thing. Like normal cartoons would come on, and then like when the cartoons would go off and before prime time would come on, you'd get
that little buffer time, like Brady Bunch and stuff.
Bunch, yeah. Bewitched, Batman, and there was something else they put in there. Maybe I Dream of Jeannie.
Gilligan's Island, maybe?
Gilligan's Island, yeah, I think you're right, Randy. But yeah, that's how I did it. I mean, just, I remember riding around on our bikes, just
right? Oh my God. Dude, it was so campy, but it was
fucking awesome.
It doesn't get no better. If you're looking for something that's just flat out fun to watch, that's it. Like, if you love Batman, you want something absolutely fun to watch where you can be an adult, get the adult jokes and the adult humor, and sit down with your kids and watch it, and they just have a blast. The bright colors, the boom, bang, zap, pow. It really, I mean, there's a reason why generation after generation that, you know, people are showing their kids, and their kids are going to be showing theirs, and so on. I guarantee you, when my 2 girls are adults, and you know they have a family their own, they're going to be sitting down showing these reruns and stuff of it. So
absolutely
classic.
Absolutely love that show. Absolutely love that show.
Back to the comic writing, I love it when the writers can portray the way that the actors talked in it, so you can actually hear it in your head.
Yeah, and they did that very well with the whole Batman 66 series that's out. Maybe that's what Michael was just saying there, but it's just been a great likeness, I guess, of him, you know?
Uh-huh. And the artist did really well, too. The one that I read was done by Ty Templeton in the interior artwork, and he really captured the likeness of everyone, in my opinion. I mean, as far as like a more cartoonish style goes, he really nailed Adam West and yeah. Van Williams, Burkhardt. I mean, especially Cesar Romero as Joker. I mean, he really, you know, much praise to him for doing such a fabulous job with that artwork.
The artwork reminded me of like 60s, 70s, kind of like Silver Surfer art, but turned down to like 4 from 10.
Not so heavy outlines.
Not such heavy outlines, mm-hmm. especially around the eyes. But do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was very, everything was very flat and cartoonish, but in my opinion, it was done very properly. Mm-hmm. Like for what he was aiming for, at least in the Batman 66 meets Green Hornet, which is the one that I had read. It was, in my opinion, it was all done flawlessly for what he was trying to go for. Cause you could tell right away from seeing the artwork, he was not trying to capture, any type of grit or any type of heavy lines. It was more just a very simple, stylized classic cartoon look, in my opinion, is what it reminded me of.
Without going, I loved the caricature route to make it cartoony.
Yeah, it looked great. Like, I think he did a great job.
Does that comic still run?
Oh, man. I don't know. I know the Batman 66 Green Hornet one is definitely done. That was only a six-issue miniseries. But I don't know. Last I've seen, there was one where he met Archie. There was the Batman 66 meets Archie. And that, I'm not going to lie, I wanted to get it, but I seen so much other stuff in the comic shop, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to pass on this one. But it could have been cool. I don't know.
It's not taking priority.
Yeah, I hate, like, saying something if I don't know, like, if I didn't. Because I didn't read it, so I don't want to say anything bad, but there was just so many other cool stuff there that day that I was like, that's last on my list right now.
Right. I understand wholeheartedly. I think it would be on mine at the end of mine, too.
Right.
Randy, what you got?
So the last one I got, growing up, I used to be big into PC games as much as I was video games. And I got Diablo, the original Diablo.
Oh, God, yeah.
And just going from, you know, my Super Nintendo, granted I was probably a little young to play Diablo, but just a game where you can go in a dungeon and see people's heads on pikes and, you know, just fight bloody corpses.
Dungeon
and stuff
after
like
dungeon
that.
After dungeon, all the way to hell. Exactly,
it was awesome, but yeah, it was one of those, you're kind of like, just the music and everything of that original one just kind of set you off, like, I want to like this, but I'm kind of scared to.
It was awesome. I loved that game. But it was the cheat codes that I think took away the edge. Because without cheat codes, the further you go down in the dungeon, like okay, there's no going back at this point.
I don't know about cheat codes. I used to get trainers, which were like little sub programs you could run that would like up your armor and stuff like that. But
I had straight cheat codes. Did you? Like, okay. I was doing things like... You weren't allowed to like attack people or cast spells in town.
Okay.
I was. I was definitely taking advantage of that stuff.
Guy scratching his ass, just fireball him.
What I used to do, I mean, people would go into town to trade because you can't hurt each other there. Right. So they would put their stuff on the ground and walk to the middle and then, you know, go get their shit. And I had spells that would make me invisible. So I'd be sitting there just waiting for them to throw their shit down. When they'd start walking away, I'd throw up walls of fire around them and then grab their shit and run.
I was
that bastard. Yeah. I was that bastard.
That's hilarious.
Jeremy the Griefer.
There's the title for the episode.
We might have a title. My last quick pick here is, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. It's an older film, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No,
can't say that I have.
I can't remember who all was in it, but I do remember Daniel Stern, another Home Alone alumni, who played Marv, the burglar, was in this film. But it's essentially one of the guys is getting married. It's a bunch of guys. One of them's getting married, and they go on a bachelor party to Las Vegas, I think. And
I think maybe I have seen this.
The one dude gets a hooker, and while he's in the bathroom with her, having sex with her, he like goes to throw her against the wall and puts her head through a coat hook.
Yeah, okay.
And like kills her immediately. So these guys are now, you know, freaking out, trying to figure out what to do with the dead hooker. So they end up like cutting her up in the bathtub, wrapping her in saran wrap, spreading her throughout the desert, and then in their own paranoia amongst each other, ratting the other one out. Then they start killing each other off. So
didn't a security guard or something show up too? And they like,
dude, it's been years. Okay, I have no idea.
I think I've seen that. I know what you're talking about.
But it was one of those movies that like never dropped the funny ball. It wasn't one of those movies that was like, okay, now it's time to be serious. Okay, now we're back to the funny. It was funny the whole way through while they're even doing this dark, demented shit. Wow, that sounded like a Polaroid.
I roll in smokes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
I want to remember this moment.
Cigarettes are too expensive. I roll them. Sorry, I didn't know. I didn't mean to like interrupt.
No, you're good. Man.
Wasn't John Favreau in that? Wasn't he the one with the hooker in the bathroom?
And was Christian Slater in the...
I think he might have been. You know what?
There were a lot of big stars in that, I thought. You're right. John Favreau was in that. I think Cameron Diaz...
Vince Vaughn in that, too? I mean, he was always around John Favreau. I don't know if that was...
I think he might have been. And Cameron Diaz was in that, too.
Was she?
A lot of big names in
it. All right, I got it pulled up.
Vince Vaughn is hilarious.
Heck yeah, he is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he is.
I never even heard of this movie, but I'm definitely about to add this to the list that I'm going to be watching. Thanks to y'all.
Oh yeah, you'll want to watch this one.
You can't like watch anything and not laugh if Vince Vaughn is in it.
Especially when he goes off ranting about stuff.
He starts talking all fast.
Are you sure that's the movie title? Because I just pulled up Four Weddings and a Funeral, and the star is Hugh Grant.
Oh shit! Let me see. What is it? Three weddings and a...
Was it Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag?
No,
that wasn't. That's what I keep thinking of. That was Joe Pesci, though.
Hold up. Let me look it up. Four Weddings and a Funeral is a Hugh Grant movie?
No way. That doesn't sound right.
Let me see here. Maybe it was Very Bad Things. That's what it was called. Very Bad Things. Not even close.
I have seen that. No wonder all that sounded familiar, because I know I have seen that one.
Should I even go back and fix that now? We've been talking for like fucking...
No. I want all our listeners to go start watching a Hugh Grant movie and be like, where's the scene with the hooker in the bathroom?
They're going to stop.
Oh like, my God, I'm sure the last thing Hugh Grant wants is any association with a hooker. And he get picked up with a prostitute in the 90s?
Yeah,
Very Bad Things. Holy shit, was I off.
That's amazing. That just made my night.
And a good note to end the retro roundtable on, I think.
Yes, sir.
So with
definitely.
Let's turn our attention over to Michael and talk about some of his artwork. Mike, thanks again for being here, man. So far, this has been a lot of fun. But, before we started the show, Randy, you were showing me some of your work, and it looks damn good. He was showing me the Samurai Batman, for example, was one of them. Rick and Morty was another.
Yeah.
Stuff that looks fantastic. So can you just tell us, the listeners, a little bit about yourself and how you got into art?
Well, ever since a kid, same song, same dance, I think every comic artist says. I loved comic books. I collected comic books, and I was very intrigued by the artwork. And always been a dream of mine, and it's kind of one of those things where life passes you by, and you keep telling yourself you're gonna do this, you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it, and you never do it. Well, literally a couple years ago, I started drawing only in 2016, and I was driving home from dropping my now 8-year-old off at preschool. I just told myself, I just kind of hit me, like, you know what I mean, like, I had gotten married and stuff. I'm like, I'm never gonna do this, like, unless I do it now and stop telling myself year after year I'm gonna teach myself to draw and ink and try and get in comics or cards and whatnot, it's not gonna happen. So literally I came home that day and I ordered a shit ton of art books from eBay and just started looking at tutorials on YouTube on how to draw, and bam, right there. And then I became like, I went through that kind of like obsession phase when, you know, you're really interested in something and you know you have to learn one way or another. So, I mean, I didn't sleep, I think, for the first 4 days. I just drew and drew and drew and drew. And, and within that, I created my original character. And then it got published by Advent Comics after 6 months of me working at it. And honest to God, the artwork in the first issue sucked so bad. And I don't even, like, want to mention that because of that. But anyways, so moving forward, you know, I just kind of kept at it, drawing and such. And then within about a year, I started working with Upper Deck, and I did a Marvel card for them, like the, you know, the sketch card stuff. And I submit to Tops and they rejected me. I submit to Tops again because I'm a big ass Star Wars fan. And I just kept trying to submit and then they kept rejecting me. So then I swear to God, I feel like it's this, but I don't know. So then I sent them the cards I did for Upper Deck and Marvel. And then, bam, I got approved. So then after that, I went on to do, I think it was two Star Wars sketch card sets. And then some other one, Stranger Things was another one that I did for them. And then now I'm working for Dynamite Entertainment for their sketch cards they're starting to do now. And other than that, it's just kind of commission after commission after commission, trying to keep up with bills and just steady, still trying to submit and so forth to publishers. And because the end goal, honestly, the end goal in my mind is to break into the industry and, you know, do the pencils and so forth or whatever I can really get started on, as long as it's like if they're with Diamond and so forth, Diamond Distribution, so I can get my work into comic shops. That's kind of the end goal for me. Until then, I'm just kind of, you know, submitting. Right now I'm working on a Blade submission for Marvel. I don't think they even accept submissions, but I mean, I think anybody kind of understands the way business is in the real world. Nobody follows rules. If you know someone, you know someone, and you got an in. That's just every business is like that. So if I can get an in with an editor or someone or a writer, boom, there I go. That's just how every business is, from my understanding. Yeah. You know,
good,
so
good way to, you know, just keep at it. I don't know. There's, when we started this show, like there, we'd try to, whether it be get someone on the show or just, you know, further the project. If it failed one time, like, well, I guess it's just not in the cards for us. You know, you got to keep at it and try different things, different ways.
Oh, yeah.
And that's awesome, man. That's really cool.
But, you know, seeing some of your stuff on your Facebook page, man, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you did a Venom on there. You did a Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
They just all look phenomenal, man.
And how long have you've been doing this?
I know, that's what I was getting ready to ask.
I started teaching myself to draw in 2016, a couple Jesus years ago. Christ. Yeah. It was rough, man, because I didn't have a fucking clue how to ink. My first drawing, I tried to ink with a ballpoint pen, and I'm like messaging people on Facebook, like any artist that would talk to me, like, dude, what are you using? Because at first, like, I thought they were using Sharpies, and they were, like, doing it super light. I had no idea what a Micron pen was. So I had to, like, literally start from ground zero and learn, okay, no, they're not using a magic fucking Sharpie and doing it very thin. For those little lines, there's Micron pens or quill pens. Like, I literally, I have probably 30 different art books, and I just studied. I read most of them twice and just tried to apply everything that I learned and, you know, with each one, get better.
So crazy to look at your work and say this guy's only started in 2016.
Yeah.
Now, there have been people through this show, and of course I won't name names, but who have been at it for years. Mm-hmm. And style's about the same, hasn't improved much, and if it has, it's still kind of, you know what I mean? I think, you know, in that time period, your artwork really speaks, how to word this, speaks to your determination to your craft, I guess, and you have the ability to be honest with yourself. This is like when you see people in American Idol, for instance,
yeah,
who are horrible horrible fucking singers but don't have the ability to stop and look at themselves. Mm-hmm. Don't have the ability to and question their own ability. Right. That's just out of fucking question.
Right. Straight think that they're great, even though...
To grow, to be able to do what I was just... You know, Randy and Jack are showing me pictures as we're sitting here listening to you talk. And to see what I'm seeing, I mean, you have... There's no way you could get to that level in that short amount of time without being brutally honest with yourself.
And driven as fuck.
And never stopping. Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, that's funny because if my wife was listening to this, she would be saying something along the lines of, no, you have no idea how many times Mike has sat there and said, this fucking sucks, blah, blah, blah. Because I am, man. I mean, I'm a firm believer. I mean, if you want to do anything in life, you have to really, really – tell yourself you suck. You have to. You have to say, I suck, I can do better. And I think that, like, if you're going into it and you're like, oh, this looks great, blah, blah, because I think everyone does that in the very beginning, and then, you know, you reach what I call these artist growth spurt stages, where you notice, like, out of nowhere, you see just a giant improvement, and then you look back, you're like, wow, I really did suck real bad. So you just kind of got to push and push, and that's what I do, and I mean, I'm still doing that. Like, literally, I had a commission for to redraw a 1977 Star Wars poster, but it's in my own style. He wanted it in. And instead of Vader's helmet, he wanted Boba Fett's helmet in the background. I drew this. It's awesome. I love the idea. But it's on 11 by 17, which is what I do all the comic art on. Mm-hmm. I've drawn this thing three times. And my wife said the first one, it was great. But she felt I could do better. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, this shit sucks. And meanwhile, everyone that I had previewed it to was like, oh my God, that's great, Mike. That's great. I can't wait to see it done. And yeah, it's like ripped up in my room. I redrew it and I finally finished it tonight. This is the third one I did it on. And it looks good. So good. It's just a matter of pushing yourself. And everyone has room to grow. I'm trying to grow with everything I do. Hell, yeah. Hopefully a publisher's out there listening to this like, wow. Like, he must really be dedicated. I gotta get this kid a gig. Yeah, I am.
I mean, it shows right through. It shows right through. Mm-hmm. How could it not? 2016? Right.
So yeah.
That's some progress now.
That's some drive.
Thank you.
So for people who are interested in the commission or just want to check out your work, where should we be directing them?
Well, I just started an Instagram, but my biggest thing is Facebook. I got a regular Facebook page. It's just Michael Metland. And then I got a Facebook fan page, like the like page, and it's Michael Metland Art. So you can check out those. I post all my artwork on my Facebook almost weekly. If there's any interest in any commissions, I do pretty much all types of stuff, 11 by 17 size commissions, 9 by 12 commissions, sketch cover commissions, sketch card commissions, pretty much anything and everything that I could do. Also sell posters, and all you got to do is just message me. Just send me a message, say, hey Mike, what's up, blah blah, and you know, I'm pretty friendly to everyone. I won't turn you down, even if you want to get a commission or you just want to bullshit with me, really. I mean, I don't care. I didn't make a social media site to be antisocial.
That's what I need. Antisocial media. Yeah. That's the best. Do best for me. All right. Very good, man. We'll definitely then be tagging you on Facebook there and on Instagram. Can't wait to check out more of that. But, Michael, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for being here with us today, man.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you. I came into this being super nervous because I checked out the podcast, and I was like, I told my wife, I said, oh my God, I think this is going to be like probably the biggest interview I've done. Everything is very top notch. I was like super nervous because most of the time I like to do written interviews because I get real nervous. But just hearing y'all talk about stuff, and I felt like I was in a room with just, you know, my boys and stuff, and we're joking and laughing about
that's how
movies and games. Yeah.
Good.
So now I kind of wish it was longer, but all right.
Well, that's why we're going to get you back again. What's that?
Yeah. I said, maybe we could do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. When we find a good guest, we want to get him back.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Absolutely.
Hey, so I definitely appreciate it if I can get back on.
Absolutely, yeah. Just let us know. And especially if you have any new projects coming around the pike, let us know on that, too. That way we can promote at the same time of release. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, definitely.
But, yeah, Michael, man, thanks again. This has been a blast.
Thank you, guys.
Jack, what do we got on the website?
Go to CanDairPodcast.com, where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, become a patron, buy some merch, watch some YouTube videos. And if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And once again, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CanDairPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. Patreon.com/CanDairPod. For $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod and you know, a lot of new stuff coming down the pike. So who knows what else it'll get you here come February, you know? What am I forgetting, gentlemen? Anything?
Got a question for you guys. What if animals could talk?
Ooh, yeah. We have another show. I keep forgetting to advertise on this show. The What If podcast. If you search What If series or just search Canned Air Productions and your podcast player of choice, you'll get our other show called What If. It's me, Jack, and our other friend out in California there, Ryan
not
Little.
Not Randy.
It's the Not Randy show.
I got choir boy practice at that time, guys. I'm sorry.
But on that show, it's different than this one. We have fun on that show, but we spend about 40 minutes looking at twists on reality. What if animals could talk? What if people could fly? What if money had never been invented? You know, stuff like that. And it's interesting as hell. Mm-hmm. We've had some pretty good conversation. This last one, what if Krampus was real? That was a good one. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. But I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Michael Medlin.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Watch me ice skate.
Wait, come back. The ice could break.
Whoops. Help.
Quickly, walk back to the edge.
Stop, you'll break through the ice.
Snow job!
Grab this branch. You should have been listening to Canned Air.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Snow job, how'd you get your name?
G.I. Joe.
I talked to him a few times at a con. He was kind of a douche.
He got you sick the one year.
Yeah, he did. Bastard.
Oh.
No.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, okay.
And if you'd like to be a gimp.
Be a gimp?
Yeah.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.